plot.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. God fucking damn it, James is in troll mode again.
Welcome to the 12th episode of the Team Rocket Podcast.
The real episode.
The 12th. Wait, no, this is the 11th episode.
I don't even know. There was an episode somewhere that we've...
It's buried. It's with Jimmy Hoffa's body, wherever the hell that is.
The lost episode's never coming back.
It's never coming back. Yeah, welcome back. Guess what today is, Jesse?
Well, for another 10 minutes, if you're on the Eastern time zone, it is December 13th. Which makes me, it's my birthday.
Yeah, Jesse's a big girl now. He's finally 30.
Yeah, this is where everything goes downhill. Everything goes wrong.
Yeah, you're going to like find a woman and move out of the basement and move into her basement.
Yeah, I will be I will no longer be the basement dwarf or the basement troll.
No, you used to be a basement troll somewhere else. In your own house. I can see you doing that. I totally can see you doing that. Live in your basement. Forever and ever. So happy birthday. You're a big girl now.
It's true. I'm the greatest basement dwarf of all time. And now I get to be a pretty, pretty princess in my little dungeon of hate and anger.
You know what's funny about that, too? The fact that this is your 30th birthday. We've known each other for 15 years now.
16.
That's right. We've been friends for 16 years. That's 16. Scary.
Oh my god, 16 years of total complete bullshit. What are we doing?
Apparently something wrong.
Yeah,
something horribly wrong.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a nice little episode here. Things we'll be talking about. For example, the Final Fantasy VII trailer, which came out recently with the gameplay footage, which looks really good. We'll get into that. We're also, finally, the Fallout 4 review. It is here. It is time. We are going to talk about Fallout 4. I've been waiting for this.
It only took a month.
Goddamn. Yeah.
Never forget.
Joke of the year. Also, Tekken 7 had a recent announcement at their big tournament. That's the sound of James doing a spit take over that.
Yeah, this is like never going to...
But first,
Tekken 7. Do we really... Let me stop right there. Do you really need a 7 Tekken? Do we really need it?
I don't know. Do we really need 5 Street Fighters and a bunch of all-shoot Street Fighters? And the answer is yes. Anyway. But first, there is something that I have to talk about. I took a bet very recently regarding UFC 194, which just happened. If you saw it yesterday, and God knows I did not because I was engaging in sinful, debaucherous behavior in celebration or dread of turning 30, whichever you prefer. So the main event was between Jose Aldo and Conor McGregor. Ended in a way that I was not happy about. I have said very specifically that I had no interest in seeing this UFC. I had no desire to see it. I didn't care to see it. The fight didn't sell me. I wasn't sold on McGregor. I thought he was overrated.
And then what happened, Jeffy? Tell him what happened.
And Conor McGregor knocked out Jose Aldo in 13 seconds.
He pulled some Rousey shit.
I'm so mad right now. I'm so mad because I took a bet over this. I have a buddy of mine, a listener, good friend Vince, good old Vince out there, and I had a bet that if McGregor won, I would let him come on the podcast, and just so he could tell me how wrong I was.
I mean, there's worse bets you could have made.
Yeah.
You could have lost.
Well, we were going to bring him on tonight, but we caught him a little too late at the time of this recording. So rest assured, Vince, you have a recording in the future that you can come in on. And you can spend that particular podcast recording day reminding me of how wrong I was. Really, it doesn't matter. Apparently now this tells me that any opinion I have about anything ever is now horribly invalidated because I've been wrong about stupid Conor McGregor this whole time. You know what? No, I'm double downing on it. Screw it. He's still overrated. I still hate him. I still hate his gimmick. He's not funny. I don't think he's that
gimmick.
Good.
This ain't no pro wrestling. I ain't no damn gimmick. What's wrong with you?
I don't think he's that good. I don't care. I'm going to be a hater forever. I am going to hate Conor McGregor for as long as I humanly can.
Man, you got problems. Like, I don't know where they came from, where they started, but you need help.
You know, by the way, this is the worst part about it. they announced on UFC for UFC's game that's coming up, EA UFC 2, who's going to be on the cover, and I'm pretty sure I've heard it's Ronda Rousey and Conor Assface McGregor.
The sauce is so real.
Oh my god, I hate this. That was the you know what, that part where I said my birthday was great and was started on, it was really fun and I was enjoying it. No, that's a lie. My birthday started in the worst way possible with stupid Conor McGregor winning, unifying the stupid featherweight belts and with his stupid chest tattoos. It's even uglier than Brock Lesnar's penis gladius on his chest.
Man, nigga, what's wrong with you? You're like nothing but hate. Like nothing but. I mean, like, to be totally honest, it's a fight sport. Everybody has puncher's luck. Everybody knows that shit. All that proved was he is a better puncher. And Jesse, you are bad at bets. But how long have we known you're bad at bets? How long have we known that?
13 seconds. It was a 13-second fight. Oh my god, what can you really gauge from a 13-second fight? Good lord.
He hits really hard. That's all you have to take away from that.
God, you know what? I hate Jose Aldo, too, for throwing... Because Conor McGregor, in interviews, actually called the knockout. He called how he was going to do it, and Jose fell into it, hook, line, and sinker, and got knocked. And I hate it. I hate everything. UFC 194 never happened. It is a myth and an urban legend, and I'm going to... It's the most revolting win ever. It's not fair.
You're so salty. I think I need to give you, like, a bottle and, like, put you in your crib. Like, you're just being a baby.
It's not fair.
Aw, wah.
You know what? There were other fights on the card that I'm sure were good, but I don't even care. I don't even care because McGregor ruined everything. McGregor literally ruined everything for me. I haven't been this salty about a UFC fight since fucking ever. Since Chael Sonnen lost to Anderson Silva the first time.
Man.
At least Chael Sonnen was comedically funny. There's nothing funny to me about McGregor. McGregor literally just talks an obscene amount of shit, even more so than Tito Ortiz ever did.
But the thing is, he backed it up, though. This man talking shit, bro. He backed it up.
It's not fair.
He backed it on up.
I hate everything. The world is cruel. The world is cold. It's a cold, dark place.
Is your soul a black abyss?
This is where I become the horrible little basement troll.
Oh my god, you're like the most emo person ever. And like we're trying to say, there's going to be Ronda Rousey and Mr. McGregor on the cover.
No, you know what? No, there's just going to be Ronda Rousey. I don't know who this other person is.
Actually, that brings up a very valid point. Says Rousey lost. Shouldn't they replace her with Holm on the cover?
Ooh. We could debate that, but let's look at the amount of attention that Rousey brought to not even just the UFC, but women's MMA. Her overall presence in the MMA world has really done a lot for women's MMA.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll let you say what you're going to say. I'm going to say what I'm going to say.
For that reason, I have no qualms with Rousey being on the cover.
Yeah.
I think Rousey's, like I said, I think her contribution to the sport of women's MMA has arguably been the biggest in terms of making it mainstream. Consider how many sports there are where women, like, okay, you can have a woman be the main attraction, and it will sell. There aren't men. Like,
sure.
Maybe women's soccer. I would certainly rather...
Women's soccer is, like, and tennis. Soccer and tennis, to be totally honest.
Yeah, like, if I have to pick between men's U.S. soccer or women's, I'll take the women's all day.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain times, like you're saying. I'm just saying, like, this, if we had a bigger fan following, I might be more afraid of this. This might be some flack. Ronda took the stepping stone that Carano kind of made and just ran all the way with it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, to be totally honest.
She ran that shit down for, like, a 99-100-yard touchdown from, like, fucking end zone to end zone. That's what she did.
Yeah, I mean, like, to be fair, somebody actually started the ball rolling and they disappeared. And she just took the ball and just like, okay, I'm a score, like, every time. Well, I think the home should at least, like, get some mention. Like, it's normal. But then again, the cover is probably made. The decision was made before Ronda lost, too.
Admittedly, it was. Yeah, but, I mean, in terms of contribution, Holm does have she's filling some giant shoes. Now, and I mean, she's a completely different fighter than that of Ronda Rousey. So, I mean, the level of success that Rousey had versus Holm might be completely different. For that matter, this discussion might be rendered moot because that rematch is happening. And Rousey might have made a complete game plan change. She might win, and we might be having a completely different discussion here later on. So, I mean,
as long as she learns how to like catch them hands with her face, she's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's definitely going to be a big one. Her striking is going to have to get a lot better.
And even if not her striking, her defense against striking, her footwork is going to have to get way better. She needs better head movement. Yeah. Way better head movement, but we should start doing another podcast. But anyway, on to the next subject.
The MMA podcast, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, actually, that I would bring on Vince for. I would definitely say, here, Vince, get in here. You know, this is much... The truth is, I feel like my MMA knowledge has become lacking over the years, and that's probably why I don't really care for McGregor, because I...
Just don't watch it as much as we used to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cursed other interests and passions and things.
Nigga, you don't have a soul. You don't have any passions.
Yes, I do.
You have passions or you have a soul? I'm lost.
Yes.
Good answer. Good answer. Good answer.
Okay. Right. So, moving on from Rousey and Assface being on the UFC cover. Congratulations to them both, by the way. Salt's never fucking ending.
Man.
So PlayStation or Sony had their little PlayStation Experience thing, and they debuted the Final Fantasy VII trailer that basically shows the first mission, the bombing mission that you do with Barrett. Only you can actually see it as in the way you would imagine with a remake, and you actually get to see real gameplay footage of how everything is going to look and act. And it looks really good. No, I'm okay with this.
I was going to bring something up just because this is a gripe of mine, because it looks like it has the active time battle system from Final Fantasy 12, right?
No. Oh, no.
Are you sure?
Honestly, what it looks more like to me is it looks like they're utilizing a lot of what they did with Final Fantasy 15. Like in terms of having like an open world battle system, like it's actually an active battle system. Look, for real, in all fairness, everyone who played Final Fantasy VII and clamored for a remake, we would have been content with an HD upscaling of the graphics, a la Resident Evil 1 or the first Resident Evil game that got remade, or HD remake. We would have been content with that. You could have given us the same battle system, upscaled the graphics incredibly, redid the CGI, or redo the CGI. I mean, you could have done that and been fine. To give us what is effectively arguably a brand new game. Yeah, a brand new game from the ground up, and, you know, try to make it an experience more up to date with the current gaming market at large. No, I think that's a good thing to do.
Part of me just wishes that they would have made used the graphic engine that they have in place and made it like the like how it was before, an active turn style battle game. That would have been dope, but like this one, I'll give it a chance, but
you know what? Now there has been talk, because they want to do it as like an episodic gaming. They want to release the game in episodes. Now, okay, everyone's freaking out. I've heard people freaking out about that. How it's like it reeks of a cash grab. Well, it is a business. It is a cash grab, and everyone who's saying that they're going to charge $50 for disc 1, $40 for disc 2, and then maybe like $20 for disc 3... You know what? They probably can. They probably will, and we're all gonna buy it like suckers because it's Final Fantasy VII. We're gonna be all lined up, hook, line, and fucking sinker. to buy that game.
I don't like that concept with that kind of game with the episodic content. It just seems like it's too big. Like the chunks are too big.
Well, I mean, but that's the thing. You're getting full games with it. I mean, it's. I don't see the issue with it necessarily in a game like this. I do agree that episodic gaming seems like it works better with smaller games. Like the Life is Strange, which has come out, which they've released in episodes.
Yeah, hell, like the past two Resident Evil, which have been their most successful ones, Revelations 1 and 2, they were episodic, but it made sense because you basically bought it, and then you got like an episode every week. It was like, oh, cool, so I buy it, and I just download chunks of it at a time, versus, oh, you have to buy episode 1, then wait, then buy episode 2, then wait, and then buy episode 3.
Well, I mean, also look at what they've done with, say, StarCraft 2, how you had your three storylines that were effectively three different games.
Yeah, I mean, that can work, but again, the problem is there aren't three separate storylines with Final Fantasy VII. It's just one story. You know what I mean? It's like, it's all about... I mean, that's my only problem with it. taking like a story like that and breaking it up.
Now, I mean, now there's there are reasons that they are doing this.
Yeah.
And let's see. I've actually pulled it up here. Here's the deal. The remake's producer, Yoshinori Kitase, explained the reason behind it. We've seen everyone's comments and reactions to the news that Final Fantasy VII Remake will be a multi-part series and have speculated correctly as to the reason why we have made this decision. If one were to try and fit everything from the original into one remake installment, we would have to cut various parts and create a condensed version of Final Fantasy VII. We knew none of you would have wanted that. I hope that by explaining a little more about our project decisions that you can appreciate the size of this project and what we have planned for this remake, going beyond the scale and depth of the world narrative and gameplay from the original to deliver something that feels familiar yet new. As I said before, we like delivering surprises.
I mean, like, on one hand, I get it. But on the other hand, again, we have massive games that are out, like Grand Theft Auto 5, but I can kind of get behind what he's saying. Since he actually explained it that way, I can get behind that now a little bit more than I could before.
Yes.
Man.
Like, in my personal opinion, and thank you, iPhone, for breaking my concentration. GG.
Man, we're professionals, I promise.
Yeah, we... No, we don't get paid for this.
Oh, yeah, we're scrubs. We're scrubs.
We are hack scrub amateurs.
This is like poverty tier. This is like below poverty.
Minute we get that first donation, we'll start calling ourselves professionals.
Yep.
But in all seriousness, recently, I know Square hasn't done the greatest with Final Fantasy. Well, actually, you know what? I can't even say that. Fantasy 14 has been phenomenal. But the demo for Final Fantasy 15 looks like it's going to be amazing. And
I actually think that 7 is going to have the From Lightning Returns. Looks more like that.
No. Stop.
Yes, it does.
Have you seen
I played Lightning Return. I've seen the trailer. Like, if you look at it, they're all shifting and stuff. And, like, that's what I was saying. It looks like I have to rewatch it, but it looked like it was an open world fight similar to Final Fantasy 13 Lightning Returns to me.
Oh,
or.
No, that game is going to play more like 15, and I hope to God it does. I want it to be more like 15. I am begging for it to be more like 15. It even resembles, I would say, closer to like Type Zero, which came out as a remake.
Yeah.
I mean, it.
We'll have to see. We'll have to see. Yeah. No, I can't wait. Can't wait to actually see it, to be totally honest. Because I'm pretty sure it's either going to be the best Final Fantasy or it's going to be like a shit.
Well, it is Final Fantasy VII. This is a game that has a lot of history behind it, a lot of love. It's loved by many in the... It's a very divisive game, we'll put it that way. But you... Personally, my opinion of Final Fantasy VII as a game was this. I think it made RPGs cool to the mainstream. I've always felt that way. I think it was one of the first RPGs, if not the first, to really make RPGs cool. Among more than just the fans of that particular genre. More importantly than that, I feel like Final Fantasy VII as a game really showed what you could do with the PlayStation hardware at that time and what you could do with video games. I really think it upped the ante and, you know, it pushed things forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that did create, like, a massive snowball. It's like, the things only got better from there. Like, after that, we had Brave Prince of Musashi, which was really good, too.
I mean, we got a lot of those Square RPGs that I don't think, frankly, would have made it stateside. Yeah. If not for the success of 7 in some ways.
Yeah.
You know, but it wasn't just that. I mean, you had Sony even tried their own effort with Legend of Dragoon to make a big RPG like that.
There were a lot. There were a whole lot that came out after that, and they just kept coming out. The WildStar series started around that WildStar. Oh my god!
Wild Arms tried to expand itself.
Yeah,
Wild Arms. Funny enough, when Wild Arms came out stateside before Final Fantasy VII did, Wild Arms. There was a gaming magazine out at the time, and I remember this as a kid. It was called Ultra Game Players. I want to say was the name of it.
Yeah.
And they did a review for Wild Arms, and they referred to it as the calm before the Final Fantasy VII storm, because that was one of the first games I saw that, you know, it utilized like a 2D mapping. It had a 2D overworld. It was very high res, or at for what you would call at that time high def sprites.
Yeah.
But the game or the battle system was had the same 3D that Final Fantasy VII did, except you had little chibi models instead of you know what Final Fantasy VII had with fully developed models. So, but it showed that things were starting to be pushed forward, and now, like I said, VII just knocked that one out of the park. You can have the debate all day, what is the best Final Fantasy? I think anyone in the world can make it. You can make a case for a large chunk of the Final Fantasy games being the best.
Four,
six, seven, nine,
ten,
you can make a claim for.
Only because it started a new generation to have the same effect as Final Fantasy VII. It was not only Final Fantasy, but it had truly full like motion videos, and it had voice acting for the first time, which even gave them even bigger depth of character development because you actually hear what they look like, too.
Hear what they look like?
Yeah, hear what they look like. Dear God. Hear what they look like, Jesse. They hear
that,
exactly
that,
what
that,
they look
that,
like.
That's what you just said.
I know. I just said that. I know. I was repeating it. To you, I can't believe I said that. You can hear what Cloud looks like, Jesse. He looks like an angel from his voice. Oh my God. Dear God.
Ladies and gentlemen, the most amateur. We truly are the most amateur hour Bush League podcast in the world. We really are.
You can hear what they sound like, which added to what they look like, versus like, you could actually now think about it, a lot of the games where you couldn't hear their voice actually. You had more immersion with because you make them sound like whatever you wanted. But Final Fantasy, again, 10 does have that distinction to some people since, like, their first, like, delving into RPGs and especially that series in general. It's like, a lot of good shit.
You never forget your first.
Unless it was horrible.
Yeah.
Then you really never forget it.
Yes. But no, I am looking forward to the 7 remake. I have a ton of faith that, you know what, this is going to be good. And I feel Square has, they've done enough to earn the opportunity to not screw this one up. But this is going to be one of those games. Y'all fuck this up, and we are never letting y'all we're never letting you guys hear the end of it.
I mean, again, like they don't really, Square Enix doesn't really have much in terms of their big series anymore besides Final Fantasy. That's why they've been cranking out so many of them lately. And to be fair, they have a massive universe and a bunch of different characters they can use at their disposal. So they can do whatever they want with it.
Wow. May this be the good one. May this be the one that... It's one of those things that it's the game's going to be money. It's going to make money. People are going to pay for it, like, out that fucking ass. You can literally release it episodically. You could make Yuffie and Vincent DLC. You could do some marketing scheme with the gold saucer, and I'm still going to pay for it because I'm...
Excellent. If they made a if they made a limited edition pre-order only golden saucer version...
Yep.
Or they made like a resin statue of a mega weapon or ruby weapon. I'd buy it just for the ruby weapon statue. Not gonna lie.
Yeah. Emerald weapon, Ultima weapon. Yeah. I would do it.
Not like, gonna lie.
I'm just gonna say it, Square. You have me by the balls. You're gonna do it.
They have a lot of good things at their disposal. Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie. Next topic. Are we to follow yet? Or are we not to follow yet? Are we to follow yet?
Well, if we're going to talk about RPGs, yeah, we might as let's go ahead and talk about Fallout 4. This fucking game. This fucking goddamned fucking fuck game. I'm sure everyone hearing that is like, God, he must really hate Fallout 4. This is not true. I think Fallout 4 is a great game. I have enjoyed my time playing it thus far. Just for different reasons than that of what I expected.
Really? How's that work? I have to hear how that works.
Funny enough, the part that I have actually had the most fun with has been building little settlements in the game. But
so,
I'm going to get into that here. Let's talk about the basis behind this game. For those of you that have been living under a rock since 2008? Yeah, we'll go 2008. Fallout 4 is a game developed... it's the fourth game in the Fallout franchise. Canonically, fourth. Fuck.
You're confusing people. Slow down.
It would be technically the fifth game in what would be considered the main canon Fallout series. That being Fallout 1 and 2, developed by Black Isle. Fallout 3, developed by Bethesda, Fallout New Vegas, developed by Obsidian, obviously, Fallout 4, now developed by Bethesda again. It is a game that takes place in the post-apocalyptic United States of America, where we got to about the year 2070 and nuclear war erupted, thus, you know, turning the world into a post-apocalyptic wasteland. Yeah, you know what? A shithole is a great way of wording it. The thing is, it's an alternate universe where we learned how to utilize fusion power in the 1950s, and we unfortunately really never left the 1950s culturally. So you get a lot of, you know, high-tech, you know, technology. Yeah, high-tech technology. Way to be redundant there, buddy. There's mine now. There, we both
have. Yeah, I mean, like, it has, like, the weird Art Deco feel with, like, the 19... I know what you're trying to say. It's, like, the 1950s version of what they thought would have been high-tech. There's a lot of, like, the bubble, like, rooftop cars and shit around and all kinds of stuff like that.
Somewhat, yeah.
Yeah.
So, the basis behind this game is it takes place in the Boston Commonwealth, referred to as the Commonwealth in this game. And you play a man who... or a woman, excuse me. For me, it was
amazing.
You play a person who goes to their vault in the year 2070. You actually get to see the bombs drop.
Really?
Yeah, this is a first for a Fallout game. You're actually there to see the bombs drop. You barely, just narrowly miss getting hit by the bombs. And you are taken to Vault 111, where you find out that this is a cryo-freeze vault, where you were to be popsicled for God knows how many years until the world is habitable again. Or say, okay to live in again. Well, it's you, your significant other, and your infant child.
Yeah.
Well, at some point during the game, you and your significant other are removed from cryostasis, and a mercenary steals your child and kills your significant other. You're then refrozen and then thawed out some unspecified amount of time later. And it's then that you go on your journey for your missing child.
Okay, so I have to ask, because we talked about this before, isn't it like 400 years in the future? Or is it 200 years in the future?
Well, since it is 2015 right now, the bombs dropped in 2070, I want to say.
Yeah.
And you wake up 200 years later. So 250 some odd years from now.
Yeah. I was making sure, because I remember in the last episode we talked about how you have to wake up from cryo sleep trying to find your son. Yep. Shouldn't your son be dead like 100 times over? Or did he get put back in cryo sleep?
Well, first off, you're woken up out of cryo sleep at an unspecified time. You don't know what year it is. You don't know.
Okay.
And then you get re-cryoed and then you get on cryoed again. Okay. The amount of time that has passed has not been determined, which is an important detail to consider.
Okay. I thought I'd clear that up because I was kind of lost. Like, wait a second. So how many times I've been cryo-slept and what's going on?
You've been cryo-slept forever. You're in cryo forever. So first off, if you're wondering how the game plays, number one, this game, in terms of battle system, it plays for the most part very similar to Fallout 3 and New Vegas. Not much has really changed. I will say that the first person shooting has gotten a lot better. If you're more of a first person shooter kind of person and that's what you like playing with, you're going to feel actually a lot more at home with this game. Now, VATS is still there, and VATS is still a very reliable way to play it, but now time doesn't so much freeze in VATS as it does just slow down very slowly, and then, you know, you start doing the usual stuff you do in VATS, targeting specific body parts to try and kill the enemy. Because the enemies are now active in VATS, though, you can't just linger in VATS the whole time. You actually have to make decisions and get moving and so forth, so forth. So this does make it a little bit more of an active game. What they've really done, and this is something I'm not a big fan of, to be honest, they've really changed how special works and how you have skills in the game. The previous Fallouts, you had your special stats, which is an acronym for strength, perception, endurance, I want to see charisma, intelligence, agility, and luck.
Well, I actually remember that.
I know. Yeah. That was a good golf clap for me, please. And you would put you would be given originally 5 points. Each of those stats would start at 5. You would be given 5 points, and you would distribute them amongst however you wanted. Each stat could be a maximum of 10 points. This game is different. This one, all the special stats start at 1. I think you're given 21 points that you have to allocate accordingly. Additionally, you no longer, or the original Fallouts, 1 through New Vegas, you also had a skill bar. And at character creation of these skills, which included stuff like guns, small guns, big guns, energy weapons, speech, bartering, hacking, lockpicking, sneaking, etc., etc., they all started at a certain percentage, and, you know, based on some of the stats on your special, would have a small effect on those skills themselves. You would tag 3 skills at the beginning of the game, and those would be your primary skills. And you would level those up accordingly.
Yeah.
And you could level up your off skills too, but mostly you picked these 3 because these were going to be your primary skills to start with. So Fallout 4 guts that completely. There are no more skills like that. Rather, these skills are tied into your special stats directly.
Yeah.
And the way that it works is every level you take a perk.
Mm-hmm.
And on your special, or the perks are all tied in directly to your special stats. And with each level up, you would pick a different perk. Each stat on the special list has 10 tiers worth of perks. 1 perk per tier. So this gives you 7 perks on each tier based on the specific corresponding stat. In theory, you can... Well, there's no theory to that. What am I saying?
Yeah.
I was in a train of thought moment. God. So you would select perks based on this tier list. I'm not a big fan of it because when you had the original skills to work with, you could kind of give yourself a very set idea of what you wanted to do from the start.
Yeah.
Like, if you wanted to deal with... say rifles, and you wanted to be able to lockpick, and you wanted to be able to talk to people, there were 3 skills specifically for that you could select, and you knew what you were doing with them. You were able to plan out from there. And every few levels, you would get perks anyway that would just augment those skills that you already had available. With this, without really looking at the perk list, you get an idea of what each stat will affect, and you have to look through your perk list to figure out what you want to, or what it really messes with. Like, for example, I think perception is actually linked with lockpicking in this.
Really?
Yeah. And I want to say that the lockpicking ability, I want to say, is like a tier 3 or 4 perception skill.
No, why?
That's how they have it done. So you have to have at least a minimum of either 3 or 4 perception just to level lockpicking, or just to take the lockpicking perk.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to be a corresponding level to level it up further, but you get the idea. There's another one that I want to say is with charisma. It's the tier 2 ability, I want to think. If you're a guy, it's called Lady Killer. If you're a female, it's Black Widow. And it's you have initially a 5% more damage to the opposite gender, as well as different speech. Or you have better success in speech with them as well. But that's like tier 2 charisma. There's not really much organization with it, and I'm not a big fan of that. Like, I felt like that could have been better organized. I thought, honestly, going away from the skill system in that regard was kind of was a bit cumbersome. And I feel that it makes kind of planning out your character ahead of time a little trickier to do.
I mean, it would make it a lot trickier. You should just have skill... Like, you know the skill trees in Dragon Age? I wish they were more like that.
That would have made a little more sense. That, I think, even would have been a little more cleaner. Not much cleaner. I think the older Fallout games actually had it done pretty well. They didn't really need to deviate from that, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
That being said, one thing that I have really liked about the game that I did not know that I was going to like, but I ended, but it happened. You actually, throughout the game, have the ability to find and build settlements up throughout the game. And these become like little miniature townships that you can build up. You can turn them. You can build shops in them. You can build housing. Settlers will come in and start working on stuff. You can make farms on them. It's like its own little weird kind of Minecraft-esque.
I mean, to be fair, not to cut you off, but like that's also been in some other games like Fable, and I want to say that was in like Blood Moon and one of the other old, even though they're not the same game series at all, but in an old Elder Scrolls game too. But that seems like it was fun. Did you actually really mess around with that at all?
I have been messing around with it, actually. In fact, the settlements have become like the biggest time sink I've ever had for this video game. I'm pretty sure I have spent more time messing with the settlements than I have playing playing the main storyline. It's a bit clunky to work with, and I feel like that seems to be a reoccurring theme. There are parts of the game where it feels like they've implemented new things, but it's been done kind of clumsily. But the settlements, while a little clumsy, they're fun. Like, it's a very interesting time sink. I just get lost on that one. And, like, I'll start seeing, like, one of my little settlements lose happiness all of a sudden. I'm like, why are you people miserable? Go in. It's like, oh, we don't have enough beds for the new settlers we have. Well, shit, let's go ahead and get some beds built for you guys.
I mean, that actually sounds good. Then, like, it's one of those things where you implement something to be, like, not truly a time sink, but it's like an aside. It ends up taking over the entire game, but it can be worth it to the fans anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a really... It was something that they never quite needed to add in, but they did, and it's really good. Like, I found that, you know, that was one of the big things about the game that I've really liked, and I'm glad that they implemented it. I think it's really cool that they did implement it. I want to see what they're going to do with it more, because I feel like especially if they option the game or the game development off to Obsidian again, and Obsidian does another West Coast variant that continues what I would consider the Black Isle Fallout storyline, as it were, you know, I feel like there's room for refinement with it, but the potential is there for something awesome.
Okay, I have to ask, because, like, I'm a fan of both, and it's gotten a lot of criticism for it before. Is this just another Elder Scrolls game, but with guns, in your opinion? Or has it finally become its own thing?
It's still tough to say, because it does utilize... I feel like that they utilize the same engine that they do for the Elder Scrolls games right now. Yeah. I feel like they utilize it with Fallout. There's always going to be that feel to it that is just similar between both games, and that just is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with that. I just wanted to hear from your perspective.
I will say this. I think a better question is, does this feel like a Fallout game? That might be a better question. Is it a good game? Yes. Is it a great game? Yeah. Before I say anything, will I recommend that you should, if you have the chance to play it or buy it? Yes, you should. Does it feel like a Fallout game? And that's something that I've been having a little bit of... That's a debate that I've been having with myself about the game. And it's something that I've seen talked about across websites. I know one of the writers over at Kotaku, I want to say Patricia Hernandez, had an opinion of the game. It's like, this is a great game. I just don't know if it's a great Fallout game. Yeah. There's something about the game that... Like I said, it plays well. It plays good. I have nothing wrong with it. It's fun to play.
I mean, that's what I was saying. Like, is it its own thing yet? Even if it wasn't like a true Fallout, is it enough of its own thing yet?
I think this one is definitely more of Bethesda taking the reins with the game.
Yeah.
And I think this is definitely them trying to get out of the shadow of the Black Isle ones. Because that shadow is always going to be there. It's always going to be cast. There's not a whole lot you can do about it. There will always be comparisons.
True. I mean, that's how it's going
to be. I guess, you know, to be honest, it's tough for me to say.
I mean, again, it's like, not really put it, but like I can kind of see where it works either way, because it kind of has, it's a cool concept to me because it has like the Warhammer kind of effect. You can either play it as a fantasy game and make it a Elder Scrolls game, or you can make it a pseudo modern or like apocalyptic future and make it Fallout, and they kind of have their enough of their own flavor to me that they're different games, because there aren't truly like as much, there's no mysticism in Fallout, you know what I mean?
Well,
yet. Yes.
I you know what, I don't know if I'm gonna go so far as to say that it's its own thing. I don't know if I'm gonna make the statement that it's a good Fallout game.
Yeah,
it's honestly, the jury is still out for me on that, but I will tell you, you know what, it's a great game. Pick it up, play it. You will probably enjoy it. I don't think you can go wrong on this.
That's good. It's good to hear. It's good to hear. I might download that shit tonight then.
Yep. Get on Steam. Go ahead and buy it, or PSN or Xbox Live, whatever you would like.
Yeah. Yep. 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 So what is next, my friend?
Well. Butts.
Well, it's always butts.
Yeah. So Tekken 7, the fighting game series Tekken, just recently had a character reveal trailer for their newest game.
Yeah.
And guess who it is?
Jin.
No.
Who? Kazama. One of the Kazamas.
Akuma from Street Fighter.
Are you real?
I am real.
Are you fucking serious?
I am really real. I am for reals.
Man. I'm not even upset about that.
You know what? We did have Street Fighter Cross Tekken, where we had the Street Fighter characters and the Tekken characters battling it out in a game that was arguably a modified version of Street Fighter 4. And we've heard talks for a while now that we would be getting Tekken Cross Street Fighter, which
never gonna happen.
Which, that one is still very much in development, but I feel like this is their first, this might be the first taste of it, getting Akuma into Tekken 7. And I think this is going to be interesting, because this is going to be, we're going to see how a Street Fighter character plays on the Tekken format. The trailer that they showed Akuma doing stuff like dragon punches, fireballs, hurricane kicks. I mean, the moves look exactly like they should in Street Fighter.
Yeah.
But I want to see how they're going to interpret this, how it's going to cross over. And like I said, I feel like this is going to give us the taste of whether or not Tekken Cross Street Fighter is going to be a really good game.
To be totally honest, I think it's one of those things where if you make it in one universe of games, it works. When you try and make it in another, it just doesn't work. I hate to say it. But
first off, we have to look at how Tekken is as a game, as a 3D fighter, which largely the combat in Tekken is very much up close and personal.
Yeah.
It's not much of a zoning game. I say this as a very casual observer to Tekken, by the way. If I'm wrong and someone with a lot more experience on Tekken wants to comment and clarify this for me, please do. This is, strictly from what I've seen, Tekken is a very up close and personal game. Akuma has a lot of zoning options, and I don't mean even zoning by what maybe be by Tekken standards. I mean by Street Fighter standards. He has those zone options, the ability to throw fireballs, the ability to fight from a distance. A lot of cheap play in Street Fighter 4 was Akuma jumping in the air and throwing fireballs and using teleports to play keepaways.
Yeah.
Which made Akuma one of the opponents I actually hated fighting online, honest to God. I was not very good at getting around that.
Man, just gotta rush him down. Anyway,
yeah.
I mean, like, I think that it's gonna be, it has the potential to be a good fighting game. I think it's taken so long to make that I don't think it's really gonna
have an
impact.
My honest opinion is this character reveal and him being in the game is actually going to be a first taste of what Tekken Cross Street Fighter is gonna be like as a game. and you're going to see how the Street Fighter characters, with all of their tricks, as it were, are going to perform. Because, you know what, if Akuma plays really strong or really well, or they figure out how to interpret him into the Tekken game without him losing his Street Fighter feel, I think you've got a good thing on hand. If a lot of the stuff that makes Akuma, and thus, you know, Akuma, Street Fighter character, if a lot of that gets lost in translation, that might actually have worrying boding signs for Tekken cross Street Fighter.
I kind of just pointed this out. I wish we could have got games versus games made sense. Like Tekken versus Virtua Fighter or Tekken versus DOA would have been amazing if that were ever happened.
Oh, Lord.
I'm being serious. Because, like, it wouldn't really take much to put the two together.
Well, you know but I mean? I mean, the only thing that, well, Tekken and DOA are both 3D fighters, Virtua Fighter and Tekken, but they're also reliant on very different things. I mean, Virtua Fighter is a very, very different game than that of Tekken.
It's the most technical fighting game ever made, like, legitimately.
I would believe that.
Like, I remember when they introduced Akumite mode, and they used actual AI from actual champions in Japan from tournaments to be the AI, which is amazing. Like, they went out of their way to make that a really good game.
They really did. No, I would actually like to see another Virtua Fighter. I am not good at Virtua Fighter. I don't think really any American is that good at Virtua Fighter.
Nah. I peaked at Virtua Fighter 3 TB on the Dreamcast, and I'd stop playing it.
Oh, yeah.
I was done.
No, Virtua Fighter. Getting off track. I'm excited for Akuma and Tekken 7. I think it's definitely... I think people will definitely really... If you didn't care much for Tekken before, this might bring in some people now. But I definitely think that this one's going to have higher ramifications because you're going to see how... This is like really the first taste of Tekken Cross Street Fighter. This is what you're... This is really going to tell you what the game's going to be like.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited for it. I'm just afraid. I really like the... I like the Capcom take on it. Not many people did because they had to do too much to make everything balanced, and it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way with like the gym system and stuff. It was, yeah. That's why I'm afraid this is gonna rub people the wrong way again.
Well, Tekken 7 should come out eventually. I don't know when, but when it does,
2017.
Time immemorial, we'll know.
Yeah.
And then finally, since we are talking about Street Fighter, Street Fighter V recently had a reveal, not a formal reveal in the sense, a player looked into the game's mechanics and found some stuff within the engine that makes them think that it's going to be more reflective of Street Fighter 3.
Which isn't bad. Isn't a bad thing.
Basically how the game deals with trades on attacks. What attacks beat other attacks.
Yeah. The only thing I see hurting this is it kind of... It doesn't sound it's going to be as friendly to new players.
Actually, that's the funny thing, because the goal they're aiming for is to make it more friendly to newcomers getting into the game.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that would actually make it harder, because just looking at the game at a face value, well, you can explain the mechanics in a second. You wouldn't think of X counters X just right on top of your head, even though common sense-wise does, it makes more sense. But go ahead and explain to them what's happening.
All right, well... And first off, one of the design ideas, I think, behind Street Fighter V was to make the game more honest up front. You know, that if you do something, you're committing to it.
Yeah.
In this case, it was demonstrated in video on YouTube. There was a video posted by PeriodicoSF, according to shoryuken.com here, of which I'm reading off of. Demonstrates what appears to be a normal priority system a la Street Fighter 3 Third Strike. For those who may not be familiar, Third Strike's priority system governs trades. The basic rule is that stronger normals always beat weaker ones. Special moves beat light and medium attacks, but trade with heavy ones. And supers beat special moves.
Yeah.
In Street Fighter 5, the game apparently applies this priority system to normal attacks, but specials will still trade with normals. Anti-airs aren't part of the equation either. For those of you who have no idea what that means, basically your weaker attacks will get, if say one person does a weaker attack or a weak attack, one person does a medium attack, the medium in theory should win. If someone does medium and someone does strong, the strong should win, so forth. This is interesting to me for a couple of reasons. Number one, Street Fighter 3 Third Strike is actually considered to be one of one of the most technical Street Fighters made, definitely, and one of the best games, or one of the best Street Fighters made, period.
Yeah, hands down.
Yeah, so the fact that they're going to that is, I think that's good. I like that. That sounds pretty cool to me. I'm very excited for it, and having played the Street Fighter V beta, the game definitely feels a lot smoother, cleaner. I think it's going to be very good. This is one of those things, like, actually, in talking about it, there's not really much to say. This is just reporting it is what it is.
Yeah, we have to see it in practice to see how, like, weird it is. Because it basically means, like, to me, it does make it a lot easier because you can just spam heavy punch the entire time.
Well, but
in a lower end bracket of learning how to play, it rewards you being the computer. Then once you start getting the true competitive play, you'd have to learn how to use the weaker punches and abilities later on.
Well, I mean, also you've got to consider this in tandem. Characters who have really good normals in terms of range, frame, frame animations, hitboxes, those characters are going to be that much stronger because you're going to need a character that has really good strongs.
Yeah. I mean, I see Birdie being overpowered now.
You know, being able to poke somebody out is going to be that much more important. Footsie play is going to be really determined by this.
Footsie Ryu is going to be real again, bro.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, it does sound, once you equate it all together, it sounds like it's going to be a good thing. But it's just such a different shift to what we've got in the past, like, what, 4 iterations of Street Fighter 4?
Yeah.
It's like a huge shift in, like, mechanics. Like, okay, so everything you're used to, we're taking that and we're throwing it out the window.
I mean, you got to, though. You can't just you can't rely on the same thing all the time. Look, there are some games that are good as is. You just leave them alone. They're fine. You can't do that with stuff like fighting games. It's an always improving, always changing dynamic. Unless, of course, you're the Smash Brothers community, in which case Melee is God and nothing will ever beat Melee, and there's really no reason to play any other game outside of Melee because Melee is perfect and blah, 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 and I fucking hate Melee with all of my heart.
Yeah, the only reason I should ever play Smash 4 is if you're playing on a DS, bruh.
Actually, having played Smash 4 on both DS and the Wii U, I actually like Smash 4. I like it a lot. It's a good game.
I can't believe you actually just said that. I wish I had, like, balloons that fell down and said we finally won.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd ever hear you say that, not gonna lie.
I mean, it took them getting Ryu in the game, so it actually took them getting a fighting game character in the game for it to
How ironic. Getting a fighting game character in a fighting game was what made it good.
Yeah.
Whoever saw that coming.
But thus me reestablishing my credibility as a perpetual hate machine. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that...
What I was actually going to say, keep in mind what just happened here. You had Smash 4 brought in Ryu, and now they're bringing in Cloud. They brought in Cloud, adding to the Final Fantasy VII hype.
Technically, Cloud is a fighting game character because of Air Guys.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying, technically, he is a fighting game character.
And Dissidia, technically. That was a very loose interpretation of a fighting game, but it is a fighting game.
To be fair,
Dissidia was fun. That was its own kind of fun. But now you have, Akuma in Tekken. Street Fighter is going everywhere. It's almost...
To be fair, Street Fighter is the most famous fighting game in the world. You can't even argue that. Everybody knows who Ryu is. Even if you don't know what Street Fighter is. I know people who know Ryu, but can't tell where the fuck he's from. You know what I mean? Like,
he's American, right?
That's that Kung Fu guy. Yeah.
You know what? As long as Street Fighter cross Mortal Kombat never happens, that can never
happen. Oh, it'll happen.
No.
You said that.
Hell will freeze over before that fucking game.
Just because you said that. It's going to happen. And you know what's going to be funny? You're going to be the only person that doesn't like it.
Depends on if NetherRealms is developing it or not. That's the kicker.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. That's another argument for another day yet again.
If it's Capcom developing it, sure, I'll probably like it. But if it's NetherRealms, the game's going to be shit and I'm not touching it.
I want to play Street Fighter versus Blaze Blue.
Oh, God, no. No.
No?
No.
Okay, fine. Can we play... let's play King of Fighters 94 through 99 versus Blaze Blue.
What is wrong with you? No. These are terrible ideas.
Because I don't know. I have no clue. I mean, whatever. It is what it is. I'm just excited because, like, there has been a huge renaissance in fighting games in the past decade, which has been amazing. Not gonna lie.
And you know who revived the fighting game genre and made it
the fans?
And made it.
Let's be real.
Street Fighter 4. Street Fighter 4 did it again.
Blaze Blue. I'm gonna have to say, because think of it this way, we had nothing.
Oh my god.
No, Jesse BC or Guilty Gear. Think of it this way, there were no new like IPs for fighting games, right? You can't even argue that. Then what happened? What arcade game was made? Was it Guilty Gear?
Well, actually, the whole reason Blaze Blue happened, that was a that was supposed to be a spiritual successor to Guilty Gear, because Arc System Works did not have the license to Guilty Gear at that time. Yeah. And wanted to make a Guilty Gear game, so you got that.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, there was like a whole thing of these aren't marketable, these won't sell in the U.S., and then Guilty Gear came out.
No.
Yeah.
No, Guilty Gear 2 or X2 came out in like, what, 2002, 2003? But yeah. I mean, fighting games were on a decline well after that. Like,
well, let's see, because around then we also had NBC 2 came out.
What came out?
No, that came out in 2001, I think.
Yeah.
And the Xbox port. The Xbox port is what came out in 2003, because I had that. Never mind. I had my dates out of order, because it was on the Dreamcast, and then it got ported over to the Xbox. It took forever.
Fighting games. I mean, there were fighting games that were fun, but, I mean, they were... There was a period of time they weren't doing that hot.
I'll go ahead.
They announced Street Fighter 4. That came out in 2008.
Yeah.
And suddenly the genre starts looking good. Fight people, make fighting games again.
Also,
at least fighting games.
There was the Soul Calibur stuff that was out too.
That is
true. Soul Calibur, you can't discard that. It's like a Soul Calibur is a huge part of that too.
So Soul Calibur 2 and then
3, because we had a 3 machine.
Well, we had one, but if you're looking at it from a competitive standpoint, where does 3 stand? And then I mean, the problem is Soul Calibur's kind of fallen off. That I would actually like to see is a good Soul Calibur again.
Yeah, like, I'm saying like in terms of sales, not competitive, but sales with like people that brought it back. You're thinking of it the wrong way. We're talking about actually to the mainstream. You know how many people I knew bought it for like what are they called? Exclusives like Spawn or Link and stuff like that. They did a lot of really cool stuff to get it back into the forefront. Competitively, you're right. But in terms of just general sales and getting them back out there, it was a lot of the fans buying shit again.
Yeah.
And again, Capcom also made like the compilations of Street Fighters that came out. Those sold like hotcakes on the PlayStation and the PSP. Like a lot of shit had to happen.
They were making more compilations than they were actual new IPs or new games. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. And like one of the first true new IPs was Guilty Gear. And it proved that, you know what, maybe there is growth for, if not necessarily new like this, maybe we can bring in new iterations of old games. Then Street Fighter 4 was like, and then Capcom's like, you know what? We'll make Street Fighter 4 finally.
And they do. And it was good.
And the nerds ate it up.
And you know, funny enough, speaking of Street Fighter 4, they did just have... did we talk about this? I want to say we did. They had Capcom Cup. Kazunoko wins.
Yeah.
Beats Daigo in Grand Finals. So, man. I like how that the beginning of competitive Street Fighter 4 started with Daigo and in some ways ends with Daigo.
changing of the guard. It happens. Feels bad.
But you know what? New game is going to come out. The playing field to a degree is reset. I'm very interested to see how the competitive scene will build off of that.
Yeah, and there's also the whole concept of V-triggers, and they're doing a lot of stuff to make it new, which I really do like. And 4 and all its iterations did seem like a lot like a fan service or a throwback. This seems like a brand new game, which is the other thing I'm kind of hyped about.
Yeah. You know, maybe this will be the Street Fighter game where America finally manages to win Evo.
Did you say that with a straight face? I can't tell.
I did. Maybe this will be the one. No, we're probably not gonna happen. Look, it's probably not gonna happen. But
probably not.
We can hope and dream.
We still have Smash, though, man. We still have Smash.
No, I mean the Swedes have that. No.
Oh yeah, we have nothing. Yeah, we have nothing.
We have Mortal Kombat, and we have
Mortal
Killer
Kombat?
Instinct.
You mean Mortal Kombat?
No.
Oh, man.
You know what? I'm going to just go start. I just had my birthday. And you know what? I'm almost considering drinking now that you've said that again. Thanks.
I mean, we have Mortal Kombat, and then we have Nintendo. We have Rare Mortal Kombat. Feels bad, man. Feels bad. Feels bad. But I think we hit everything. It is now officially no longer Jesse's birthday. Poor guy. Poor guy. Did you have a good birthday?
I did. It was a very nice birthday. A lot of thank you to all my lovely friends and family that came out. And thank you for everyone who took care of me. And thank you for everyone who wished me happy birthday. You all are all the real MVPs. With that, ladies and gentlemen, this mocks the end. Join us next time when we talk about something, because I don't know what we're going to talk about. God knows.
I think we're going to have to do something crazy that we have to talk about off the podcast, but we'll have something for them.
You know, we always do. The official holiday episode where James and I tell the night before Christmas.
The James version?
The James version of the night before Christmas.
Oh, my God. Oh. The night before Christmas. I'm probably going to write that down. You think I'm joking?
No, I don't think you are joking. I think that'll really happen.
Also, when is your next day off?
Why are we discussing some podcast?
We'll discuss it after. I'm building up something. So anyway, that's been our podcast. Jesse's an old man now.
I am old. I am officially old.
He's old, and Jesse's the oldest and only basement dwarf of his kind. Feels bad.
Yeah.
Feels bad. So send us out of here, Jesse.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Team Rocket Podcast. Jesse, this is James. We are blasting off again.